It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Get outside. This is KSL Outdoors.
Brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals.
2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM.
And a new day. As always, it is great to have you listening along here on a Saturday to KSL Outdoors Radio as we get ready to take some little trips around the state, see what's going on out there. We can tell you as we sit and record this program on Thursday that the first of several rounds of precipitation coming our way, snow to the 8,000-foot level to the tune of 1 to 2 inches is expected. And by Tuesday of next week, they're talking about the possibility of snow being down onto the bench areas. Little ahead of schedule, but I can't hear or haven't heard many people complaining about that, particularly the skiers and those that were concerned this past couple of months about our water situation in the state. It's all good to me. Nice to have you where you are today. Tim Hughes in the studios here in West Jordan, Utah, and up in the Kaysville compound, of course, is Navidomskis. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Tim.
Great to have you back on after a week off last week. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been, teaching school, of course, and I have been teaching my fly fishing classes, and it takes a lot out of me. And this is my last year, but I was thinking how much I enjoy both. If I only had one to do, I think I would maybe keep going. Both is what tires me out, but I don't know which one to give up.
Well, I mentioned snow in the forecast. I thought I'd do this just to see if I can whet your appetite a little bit.
I need a snow day.
It's part of what we're going to be talking about today. I have already connected, but we'll share with our listeners coming up in our usual snow day slot at 7:35, a conversation with Allison Palmateri from Ski Utah. She's actually on the road in New York City with all of the Ski Utah folks that are back there selling skiing in Utah. It's an annual event, but fun to be able to talk about snow for a little while here.
Well, I got the emails from, the ski resorts that I follow, and one of them said 47 days till opening.
Yep. The countdown is definitely on. Russell is a bit under the weather today, so he's not going to be joining us, but I twisted the arm of Bob Grove, who I think is back home after another road trip. Bob, you there?
I'm here. I'm in between tours, so he caught me at a good time.
This was the Grand Circle Tour again, wasn't it?
It was. It was our 10-day Grand Circle that goes from Las Vegas to Durango, Colorado, and back, and covers just about everything in between. It's pretty comprehensive.
You made one more stop there at Ruby's Inn for a dinner show, and I'm thinking maybe they ought to just bring you up on stage as the tambourine guy or something. You ought to know that whole set by now.
I do. They've been running this set for, I think it's their third or fourth year. I can't remember, but yeah, I know the set pretty well. But Tim Gates, the lead singer, told me that next year they have a new show.
Oh, great.
So it'll be another reason to come down.
Yeah, and we're talking about Ebenezer's, of course, which I'm guessing is going to shut down if it hasn't already for the season.
Well, they'll run through the end of October.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so they still got some time left, but you folks out there listening have some time left to come down. It's a great show, and it's a great time of year to be in Bryce. And you know what? The crowds aren't that bad now. It wasn't so bad visiting the park this last trip.
That's good. I'm a little surprised, but I guess everybody's back in school, so the kids obviously couldn't make some of these road trips. Although, if you live in Utah, you could do it just for the weekend. Telling you how the season actually ended up for them attendance wise at most of these areas?
Oh, I think all the parks are going to hit record breaking numbers, easily. I mean, that's, without saying that our numbers this year, I don't know what they're going to be. We've been watching them, and every month seems to be record-breaking. So we're going to see numbers we've never seen before. But it's starting to wind down a little bit. Zion stays busy longer than the others. Arches over in the Moab area, especially on weekends with the weekend crowd. But you can work your way around it.
Yeah. The other thing that was up at Zion National Park, which I want to talk to you about because you live right there, obviously, is the number of rescues that had to be undertaken this year. There was a story about it out of Springdale, and we'll talk about that coming up in the news of the week here in just a minute. One of the other things, Navi, we were talking about before we jumped into our conversation on the air was this new resort that I guess is going to be a private resort for those that buy into some of the housing in the area, this Wasatch Peaks. I hadn't heard much about it, but you seem to be up to speed.
Yeah, well, it's about houses. I mean, you got to buy a lot. I mean, they're like $1 million or $1 million lots, and there's only a certain number, I think like 750 or something, but the selling point is if you buy a house in this region, this area, you are a member of the private ski resort, which is becoming a thing in the world. There's the Yellowstone private ski resort, which is right next to Big Sky. You can see it when you come out the backside of Big Sky. It's lovely. And I've never seen skiers come down, one, maybe two. Mm. So I think that's the selling point. You get the whole mountain to yourself.
Yeah, this Wasatch Peaks is about 10 miles south of Snow Basin. We brought that up with Bob when he jumped into the conversation. And Bob, you said you used to actually climb that hillside and do some skiing before there were lifts there.
Yeah, back in my high school days in Bountiful, we used to drive up to the top of those peaks with our skis in early summer. There'd be big snow drifts on the other side. We'd build jumps and spend the day jumping up there.
My boys do the same thing every year.
Funny, as you're going down the road, if you're a guy that's into those kinds of things, you say, "Ooh, pull over here. Let's explore this area a little bit." There were some rumors once upon a time. Navi, you talk about this idea of having private resorts. There were rumblings early on in the last ownership change at Deer Valley that they may go private. That hasn't turned out to be true. But it is something that with the resorts getting a little more crowded these days, I guess is appealing to some if you're in a tax bracket that allows you to be able to afford it.
Well, much of the wealth that ski resorts acquire is based on the real estate. In the early days of what is Canyons Resort, which is now Park City, when it was Wolf Mountain and other names, if you remember Park West and stuff, they were making revenue from just selling lots.
Yeah.
That colony area pretty much kept them afloat because they could always sell the real estate to, you know, beautiful, beautiful homes up in there, and they didn't need to worry about skiers. So the same is still true. The real estate is more valuable than the skiing, and that's now how they sell the skiing, is with real estate.
It'd be fun just to reach out to Bob Wheaton, who I worked with, and I know you did too, Bob, through the years at Deer Valley. He was the general manager up there forever and retired, but he's involved with this Wasatch Peak Resort up there. And just talk to him about what the plans are and where they are in getting everything ready. I know they started in January of this year, and they hope to have their lifts up and running by December. Here's what's coming up on the show today. Roger Eggett, of course, from Bear River Lodge. Bear River Lodge and Trax Power Sports sponsor this show. We'll check in with him. I followed his social media this week, and he was unloading all of the new snowmobiles and pouring a foundation on a new cabin that they're getting ready to build up there at Bear River Lodge. So he's a busy guy. Navi will have some fish bites for us. With the hunt season on right around the corner, we're going to have Lieutenant Chad Bettridge with us. We're going to talk about poaching and remind everybody about the poaching hotline. I think they're actually looking for some help with a couple of poaching incidences that we'll try and get some information out on coming up here in a little bit. And then Mark's back, isn't he, Bob? Is Mark back from his road trip to Canada?
He is. He's in Hanksville right now on his way. He's going to meet me over in Beaver County at the end of the week, or I guess tomorrow.
All right.
But yeah, he's back stateside.
Sounds like he did quite a bit of wildlife viewing along the way. He sent me a couple of bullet points with bears and elk and buffalo and moose and all the rest of it. They had quite a trip, and they were on the road for a while. Anyway, we need to take a break. All of those things coming up on the program, but including news of the week, which is right around the corner. So make sure you stay with us. More of KSL Outdoors Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Coming right.
Bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife.
All right, that's where we're going to start with our news of the week this week. Talking about the bare necessities. We had some fun this week on Utah's Morning News talking about the winner of the Fat Bear Contest from the Katmai National Park and Preserve. It's an annual event that they do that has become quite a fundraiser. But this year's winner, in case you're wondering, and by the way, hopefully we told you about it early enough that you could actually get in and place your vote. The winner this year was number 480, Otis. He is a fat boy, but this year over 793,000 votes were cast during the week. Last year, 650,000. And I love the write-up on this. Who did this? USA Today, I think, had this report. They said, after a tough week of competition, 480 Otis defeated fellow big boy 151 Walker, also known as the Baron of Berdonkadonk, to become an unprecedented four-time Fat Bear Week champion. He's an older bear, and so I guess just through competition, he has sort of staked out his area where he likes to feed, and nobody messes with him. But this sounds a lot like guys I hang out with on Saturday. They said that he sits in one spot and lets the fish come to him instead of chasing them down the river. 480.
Have you ever seen?
What's that?
You ever watched this?
Yes.
It's online. It's amazing. Like in Alaska when we're there, people are just glued to the TV all day long. They don't watch any TV, just the bears. And they go, oh, look, the one's going in. And they watch him do a big belly flop. And people watch those bears 24/7.
Well, and here's what happens. These bears are doing a lot like you've told us about the fish. You know, they feel the winter coming, and so they're stocking up on fat. And by all accounts, Otis is going to last just fine through the winter season. One fish can contain 4,500 calories. It looks like from all the photos I've seen that Otis consumed quite a few of those. I mentioned a minute ago that I wanted to talk about this for a second because we've got Bob with us, but I'm sure you're not surprised, Bob, to find out that recent reports from Zion National Park have confirmed that it was a busy 12 months. They had 153 search and rescue efforts that were made in Zion National Park compared to only 87 the year before. What's going on?
Well, we have a new type of traveler that's coming to the parks. You know, Zion was the third, has had the third highest incidence of search and rescue in all the National Park Service previously. So if it was 87 before and now it's 153, you can see what's going on in the parks. We had a lot of guys. We're seeing a lot of people going into the parks, into the backcountry, who don't have orienteering skills and get lost, and they get themselves ledged, and they get themselves in trouble because they have a lack of experience or knowledge. They have, I don't know.
What I've heard, the study I read, says it has to do with technology. They're bringing these phones, and they're downloading these topo maps on their line, and it's and they're inaccurate, and they talk about trails that don't exist, and more important, they feel confident they can't get lost because of these stupid phones.
Yeah.
And they go back in there, and by the way, I'm absolutely against that. I mean, people who use their phones to get places are, I don't want to call them stupid, that'd be rude, but like, we have an Uber driver pick us up to the airport, and then she had to put on Uber to get to the airport. I go, we're going to the airport. She goes, hang on, I'm trying to find out how to get there.
That's about the time I cancel my Uber and go to the next one.
Yeah, I guess a lot of time.
What did we come to?
Yeah. No, I think you're both right that you have different people coming to the park, but you have people who think because they have the technology, they don't need to worry about the physical aspect of things, which, you know, it should be just the opposite.
It is the opposite. They know less that they're using technology. They go, well, I go to a, which way is north? And they go, well, I don't know. I go, well, the sun's behind a cloud. You still can't tell. They're like, no. I go, look at the foliage on the right side of that mountain. It's where the foliage is. That means it's north. They're just idiots. Well, people who use phones are just idiots.
Bob, I don't think most people understand the resources that are called into action here. One of the stories that was attached to these statistics was the 79-year-old hiker who was one of the last ones to have to get rescued out of there, got stranded in the wilderness for several days, got sideways on a hike. But they scrambled manned and unmanned aircraft from Nellis Air Force Base, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, yeah, they call out a lot of resources. And most of these guys in search and rescue are volunteers. They're taking time off of work. I mean, it's a big effort and an exhausting effort. And these guys have some special training but it's exhausting. I mean, they've overused the resources with some of these things are pretty frivolous. Some of these rescues that could have been avoided. It's just guys going off into the backwoods or into trails, like Navi said, that they aren't familiar with, and they get themselves tied up in there. But we're seeing a lot of that, not just in Zion. Zion's had an exorbitant number of search and rescue, but I think we're seeing the park system collectively seeing, you know, record-breaking numbers.
Yeah, the numbers are especially high, though, at Zion, and they were comparing it to some other state parks that didn't have nearly the problem, and a lot of it has to do with the terrain, obviously. In those slot canyons. It's one of the reasons why I was more than comfortable and happy to go with you and Mark when we hiked the Narrows, although I can tell you I was a little more tired than I anticipated by the time we got to, our return trip. You always have to remember, as far as you go in, you have to come back, too, which is sometimes part of the problem. We need to take a break. We've got news update coming up next on the half hour, so we'll do that. And on the other side this morning, Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge will join us. We'll find out what he's been up to this week. Right up.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.